Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. Today, the day that I'm recording this, and it's not too long before you're going to be hearing it, I'm in my office at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. But today, in actuality, as you are listening to this, I am in Israel. We have gone there with Christians United for Israel. We're going to have a big night. Actually, that is under John Hagee. Christians all over the United States of America are uniting in our stand with Israel for God's purposes and for the United States to bless Israel, particularly politically. We say to our nation, we want you to bless Israel in line with the Bible. And we're going to be having on, I think it's April 7th, 6th and 7th, we're going to be having marches, United Marches, and we're going to be having a big night to honor Israel in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. I wish you were with us, but you know what? I'm going to be in Israel for a while, and I got me a brand new, tiny, lightweight little laptop. You've probably seen it advertised. You can slip it inside an envelope, an inner office envelope. I'm taking it with me. Randy Laughlin, our technical guy, is going with us to Israel. While we're in Israel, we're going to be making teachings at the sites. Oh, I can't wait to do the teaching at the Southern Steps. So many wonderful things happened around there. And we're going to be doing DVD teachings that you can order just on different biblical subjects from the sites. But while I'm over there in Israel, and I'm going to stay a little extra time after the tour leaves, I'm going to be doing a blog. So you want to go online at billybrim.org or billybrim.com. That's B-I-L-L-Y-E-B-R-I-M, all one word, and then .org or .com. And then you'll find out on the webpage, it'll show you how to get onto the blog. And we'll be keeping you up with things as they are happening in Israel. I'm going to do some radio broadcasts from Israel while we're there with Randy. And so in a week or two, you can have those radio broadcasts right here on the station that you're listening to. So we wanted to tell you about that and invite you to listen in. And we reserve the right to preempt any radio broadcast with one from Israel. So if you lose out on the Glorious Church and the Book of Ephesians, you'll really need to order that from us, which we have prepared for you from our recent conference, Glorious Church Conference, Eschatology School, actually it was, with 8 sessions, in-depth sessions on the Book of Ephesians and the Glorious Church. Now, we're going to be going into the Book of Ephesians, but I want you to know that our emphasis is on the glory that book reveals. The mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27 indicates that the church will be prepared for him, a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle. I learned about the glory, and that is our emphasis from Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. And I'm going to read you a prophecy at the end of the broadcast that Brother Hagin made when he was first beginning to study about the glory himself as God. I found this prophecy. It just showed up. And I thought that was something interesting. But now we'll talk a little bit about the background. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. The book of Ephesians is one of Paul's letters of revelation to the churches. There are 7 church epistles that Paul wrote. The book of Romans, the Corinthians, the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians. And in Bullinger's Bible, I like that Bible, the Companion Bible. It has all of his notes on it. He's very studious. He outlined these and what they teach. He says of the book of Romans, for instance, it's the gospel of God and his justification of a Jews and Gentiles individually. The Gentiles dead and risen with Christ, verses 1 through 8. And the Jews, they're a relation dispensationally, chapters 1 through 8. And of course, Romans chapter 9 through 11 is the revelation to the church concerning Israel. The subjective foundation of the mysteries. He gives us a little oversight of Corinthians and Galatians, but he says about Ephesians, "This is the mystery of God, always hidden and never before revealed. Individual Jews and Gentiles gathered out and made one new man in Christ. This new man, and they, the Jews and the Gentiles who make it up, are seated in the heavenlies with Christ." That's the book of Ephesians. Now, it was written to Ephesus, and Ephesus is a real place on the earth. We know that it played a big part in the days of the gospel. There was a church there. The apostle evangelist John lived there for a while. But we're not going to go into a great detail about all the history and who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. We know things from the book of Acts. We know that Paul passed through there and people were baptized with the Holy Spirit there. Acts chapter 19. Ephesus itself was a wicked place, a wicked city. It's today in Turkey. But it was, according to the New Testament, Ephesus became an important center for early Christianity from the 50s AD. Paul used it as a base and spent more than 2 years there on his third missionary journey. There in that place was the Temple of Artemis, called by also Diana. And he took part in a great deal of persecution and trouble there. Ephesus, I'm going to read you what is written about it in McLaren's exposition of Holy Scriptures. He says, "What was Ephesus? Satan's very headquarters and seat in Asia Minor. A focus of idolatry, superstition, wealth, luxury springing from commerce, and moral corruption. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. The books of Ephesus were a synonym for magical books. Many of us know how rotten to the core the society of that great city was. And there on the dunghill was this little garden of fragrant and flowering plants, the church, the ecclesia. They were saints in Christ Jesus, though they were saints living in Ephesus. Never mind about surroundings. It is possible for us to keep ourselves in the love of God and in the fellowship of His Son wherever we are and whatever may lie around us." You and I have too to live in a big wicked place and work out our religion in a society honeycombed with corruption because of influences. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're not going to spend so much time on that because the book of Ephesians was written, and we'll see in its very opening words tomorrow, not just to people living in Ephesus, but to the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who believe in Him. It is written to the ecclesia, the church. I'm reading to you from the Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia online. About this word, I used to run into our Greek scholar, Rick Renner, and I would always ask him, "Tell me about that word for the church, what it means." And I would ask him it over and over and over, and he finally made me understand it. It is the Greek word ekklesia, which is translated church. It is not the Greek word kyriakon, which is the root of church. It's not that word. It's ecclesia. And he explained to me what I'm going to read to you now out of the Wikipedia. Ecclesia is a term derived from the Greek root ecclesia, which literally means a gathering of citizens in an ancient city-state or a called-out assembly, usually defined as gathering of the called-out ones. That's what it means. Gathering of the called out ones, or gathering of those summoned. The ecclesia in ancient times was an assembly. And Rick explained to me in detail how these city-states, they had citizens that were elected or called out, and they came together to meet in an ecclesia, an assembly, in the democracy of ancient Greece, and they made an assembly, an ecclesia of the people called out from the different districts, the different regions. We are a people called out from every tongue, every tribe, every nation. We are individuals called out into an assembly. When the assemblies of God formed, they did not call themselves a church. They called themselves the assemblies of God because of this meaning of the word. And so we're not going to emphasize that. We are going to emphasize the glory. I'm reading to you from something I found from Kenneth E. Hagin that I had dated 10/31/1975. This is about the time when God told him to study on the glory. He says, after preaching a sermon on the glory of God, "Last May the Lord said to me, 'It would pay you to examine my word concerning the glory of God. For,' he said, 'you see, that which you have seen and that which has been made manifest in your meetings and in others as well is a manifestation of the glory of God that was manifested in the Old Testament and in the New, and it will come into a greater manifestation than it has heretofore.' And so, back there in May," Brother Hagin says, "I began to examine the scripture on the subject, and when I did, there was almost a whole new world opened up to me. There will be a manifestation of my power," the Lord told me, "where it can be seen and felt and heard. Then it affects people. People who are spiritually dead," the Lord made known to him, "have to see something. And they're going to see a manifestation of glory in the church. A wave of glory." Now here's the word that came to Brother Hagin that night as he preached. "The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The end of all things is at hand. And the work that must be done quickly. And so a short work shall be done. And the hand of the Lord shall be upon his people. And the glory of God shall be seen upon his people. Yea, it shall be in manifestation as a light, as a cloud, as a brightness, as a smoke. Yea, it shall be in manifestation. And people shall fall, and people shall be healed, and the miraculous shall be made manifest among those who are the people of God. And the hearts of many shall be made to rejoice, and the hearts of many who are now in darkness shall be turned to walk in the light. And there shall be those even who hold key positions as leaders of the nation that shall turn toward the Lord and walk in his glory. And the blessings of the Lord shall rest upon his own in the world, and man may grow more wicked and darkness may prevail, but the light of God shall shine, and the army of the Lord shall go forth. And they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and the work of God shall be consummated in these days, saith the Lord." Oh, folks, we talked about this. We talked about the glory at our recent eschatology meeting in Osage Beach. You can call and order from us the DVDs, the CDs, get both as a set together for $125, or the CDs for $65, the DVDs for $85. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. 1-800-972-3447. It's time that the church heard about the glory in the church. This is Billy Brim, and I'm saying to you, shalom until tomorrow.